that when the microphone's on.
It's what?
Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs. We were blessed to listen to some wonderful teaching by a wonderful man of God over the past several Thursday nights. And that there was many great lessons you could learn from what was presented. And if you would take and, you know, you can go to his website and work these things through. There, you really can get blessed by applying these truths that you learned. One of the things that we do is the Word of God is always our first concern. And, the accuracy of God's Word coupled with the love of God to present the Word of God in an accurate manner. But to present it with the love. Because you can present the Word and have the truth of God's Word, and if it's wrapped in legalism and wrapped with laws and obligations that God doesn't place on His people, even if it is the truth of God's Word, nobody wants that kind of religion. It's a mess. You know, here's part of my teaching tonight, right? What's on here, okay, is from me, and it will do you good if you read and you apply in the right mind. If I take it like this, right, the context is still there, what's on there. I understand the words are still there, but now I've taken it and I've wrapped it and presented it in a way that I can make it a weapon. It's me, O Lord. And it does you no good. You understand? So when we present the Word of God, we want to make sure that it's not only the truth of God's Word, but it's used the way that God wants His Word used. He doesn't want me to throw it at Jimmy and hit Jimmy and hurt Jimmy. He wants me to use His Word to edify and to love and to bless. Now the Word also talks about doctrine, reproof, and correction. So we don't want to place ourselves in a position where we compromise ourselves and we don't speak forth what is true, because then we're not really helping when we present the Word. So what I'm going to share with you tonight, there's a couple things that we heard on the teaching tapes, and I want you to know that what was presented on the tapes was accurate, but however, some of the scriptures that were used did not reflect that particular truth. But the truth is there in the Word, and I'm going to show you some of the scriptures that do reflect the truth. In Proverbs 13:10, we read, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." But the way that scripture reads there, it reads, "Only by pride cometh contention." So the only thing, only by pride. So to define all contention and the source of all contention as pride, okay, you could use that verse to try to build an argument by that. But if you check the translations and you would check the words "only by" are not reflected in the Hebrew. They're supplied by the translators to try to communicate what King James is saying. The New International Version reads more accurately and places the word at the beginning of the verse. Pride only breeds quarrels. In other words, pride only breeds quarrels. It's not that all of these things come from pride. It's that pride only breeds quarrels. The New Living reads, "Pride leads to arguments." You can't argue with that. This is true. Young's literal, who was very accurate with the Hebrew, translates it, "A vain man through pride causes debate." See? So it's not that it's through pride, it's pride. It's not that only by pride, you understand, cometh contention, because contention comes from other sources other than pride. You can't take all contention, all anger, and work it back in the Word to the source that it's the lowest, least common denominator is pride. And I can show you that in the Scriptures. I'm going to show you that tonight. However, that is by no way, mean, shape, or form to say that pride is good, because this kind of pride is not good. But there is good pride, see, a godly pride. But this type of pride is not good. Now, when the New King James Version came around to translate in this verse, they corrected the translation, because the New King James Version reads, "By pride comes nothing but strife." See, that's the only thing that comes from pride. That's not that pride is the source of all these things, but the only thing that comes from this type of pride only produces strife. The Bible in basic English translates the verse, "The only effect of pride is fighting." Such and such, such and such. See? Now look at Mark chapter 3. All anger does not originate by pride. And the most simplest way I can present this truth without anyone to be able to raise up and argue with it with regards to language is Mark chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether or not he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. He said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked round about on them, with what?
Anger.
Jesus' source of anger wasn't pride. You understand? Because you can't say, only by pride cometh contention or cometh anger. Because if you want to make that blanket statement, you can't do that. Now, if you say evil pride or evil this, what you're doing is you're breaking it up and qualifying your pride, which you can do that, but you're going to see later that there are other sources that cause anger besides pride. No good thing can come of pride. Okay, don't get me wrong, but pride's not the source of every bad thing. It was, in fact, though, in Lucifer, right? He was lifted up with what? No good thing came to him, right? And what he did. So it says, and he looked round about on them with anger. Jesus was angry. And being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And I believe I taught you at one point, one of the parallel records teaches that it was his right hand, if you read it. You know, having a hand is bad enough, it's like this. But when it's your right hand, which is the hand of blessing in the East, that makes it even worse. Now go to Ephesians. There was another verse I wanted to clarify. It was used, and the way it was used, the truth of what he presented was 100%. Because you do got to get ticked off at the devil. You have to be angry at the devil. You have to get fired up and committed. But Ephesians 4:26 reads, Be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. The context would indicate that the anger, if it's continued in, would give place to the devil. But here, if you ever work this verse, you'll see that this verse is a quotation from Psalm 4:4. This isn't the first time this was ever mentioned in the Bible. This is actually quoted in the Bible in Psalm 4:4, Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And anybody familiar with Robinson? Robinson is a Greek scholar, and he is very renowned in the world of Greek and parsing out all of the words and giving you what is what. he writes of this verse, this is a permissive imperative. A permissive imperative. It's not a command to be angry. It's a warning against sinning as the pearl in anger. So he says it's not a command to be angry. He says it's a warning against remaining in that anger, and the result of remaining in there would be sin. Of the quotation of Psalm 4:4, he writes that this is the only two places these particular Greek words are used in the New Testament and in the Septuagint, the same construction of the words. And he writes, danger in a settled mood of anger. And it comes from a root word which means to exasperate, to anger. So what he's saying is it's danger in a settled mood of anger. In other words, to remain in that and to continue in that. And if you do that, then you start to what I call stew. Okay? I'm going to show you something that can blow your mind. Look at Hosea chapter 7. You stew. I like to say with people, you play the video over and over again in your mind. You know, I've been thinking, if you can't practically help people, if you can't teach people something that they're going to be able to take home and apply, you're not doing God any favors. Intellectual people like to get their ears tickled sometimes. And it's nice to learn about words, and it's nice to learn about cases and all these other things. But if there's no meat in your teaching, if there's no practical application, what good does this do me, teacher? How can this help me in my life? How can this help me in my family? How can this help me be a better dad, a better mom, a better daughter, a better son? How can this help me in my job? How can this help me while I'm driving? How can this help me? You understand? If there's no how can this help me, what good is the teaching? It's no good. It's head knowledge, unless you can play Trivia Pursuit and win all the time. But that doesn't help you. How can I ensure my marriage? How can I stop fighting with my wife or my spouse? You understand? That's what it's got to be. And that's what I've been thinking about. And when you present the scripture, you got to present it in such a way that I got to be able to give you something that you're going to take home and say, yeah, I can use that, or that's me. I'm going to show you something tonight, hopefully, that you can say, yeah, that's me, or that was me, or yeah, sometimes I'm like that. See, anger in and of itself is not a sin. But I will tell you this, anger is an emotion. Look it up in the dictionary if you don't believe me. And see, this upsets men sometimes, because men like to look at women and say, oh, they're emotional, they're always emotional. You know, and if it's a certain time in a month, you're even more emotional. And men like that, they think with their emotions or they're all fucked. Okay. Well, anger is an emotion. And if you're going to say that about a woman, and you know, there's some truth to that, you got to be able to be willing to accept the possibility that you got to be able to say it about a guy. And you may not say, oh, isn't that cute, or oh, she was talking behind his back and get into this gossip stuff, but you have to guard against anger just as much as perhaps a woman would have to guard against being deceived by her emotions. You get it? So it applies to both people. Hosea chapter 7, I'll read you a verse. Verse 6. For they have made ready their heart like an oven, whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. I don't know if that make you want to go out and win somebody for the Lord. Right? And no matter how long you stand there and stare at it, James, it's going to stay the same thing. Let me read it to you out of the English Standard Version. For their hearts, like an oven, approached their intrigue. And all night their anger smolders, and in the morning it blazes like a burning fire. That ever happen to somebody? You get mad about something, and then you go to bed, and then all night it's in there smoldering and smoldering and smoldering. And then when you get up in the morning, here's another translation in case you don't believe that one. New Revised Standard. For they are kindled like an oven. Their heart burns within them. All night their anger smolders, and in the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. Well, what's that talking about? This is talking about running it through your mind over and over and over again and just getting all... And then in the morning, you're... That's not a peaceful night's sleep, right? Now listen to this. It is the simplest thing I'm going to teach you. And if you can get this, it's worth the price of admission. They're only feelings. Try and get that. They're only feelings. You ever say that to yourself? When you get hurt? You ever say that to yourself when you feel uncomfortable? You ever say, they're only feelings. That's all they are. They're only feelings. And feelings come and feelings go. You don't have to be a robot. You don't have to be, you know, locked, emotionless. Is that a word? It is now. But they're only feelings. And if you can get a hold of that truth, and you can begin to speak those words to yourself, and speak them into your life, when you're confronted with something, you'll save yourself, Hosea 7:6, and a lot of sleepless nights. They're only feelings. They're only feelings. And who's supposed to control your feelings? You are. That's why people get in trouble when it comes to love. Because they look at love and love's this and love's that. Love's a decision. According to the word, love is a decision. According to people, love's a feeling. They're only feelings. You know, if I'm mad at Jimmy, they're only feelings. Why am I holding on to these feelings? It's not like I'm going to get any money from it. It's going to profit me. All it's going to do is just, they're only feelings. You ever think about that? Mm-hmm. Why do you let feelings have so much rule over your life? When we have spouses and we have a fight and we get angry at our spouse. And you know, you lay there in the same bed and she's looking north and he's looking south. And you sit there like a stupid idiot. Going through all this junk, why don't the next time that happens, you say, they're only feelings. Why? What am I letting destroy my night? What am I letting destroy my marriage? What am I letting the adversary in here? They're only feelings. So my feelings get hurt. So what? My wife says that a lot. You know, when I hurt her feelings, and I notice that, and I go to her, she said, no, they're only feelings. So my feelings got hurt. So what? I'll get over it. And you really do. You don't get over it when you do this. Right? You just want to hold on to it. But they're only feelings. People get divorced over only feelings. That's stupid. He hurt my feelings. Okay. They're only feelings. I'm not talking about someone who intentionally sets out to destroy your life. You understand? But when you get a group of people together, you're going to say and do things. You're going to hurt people's feelings unintentionally. I told you lots of times my story about the porcupine. In the winter, the porcupines got to get together, and they prick each other and hurt each other, but they're willing to overlook that because they need each other's body heat. You understand? It's not like one porcupine saying to the other, I'm going to get you. Right? They're only feelings. So the next time you're confronted, and you will be confronted with your daughter-in-law saying something mean, or your son-in-law saying something mean, or your grandson or your granddaughter or your spouse saying something mean, and they hurt your feelings, I would exhort you to use this little trick that I've learned to use on myself. They're only feelings. And you want to know something? God's word is bigger than your feelings. We don't live our lives according to feelings. Now, feelings are good, and I'm not encouraging you to hurt people's feelings or be ignorant of people's feelings. You understand? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you have to count Jesus Christ and the principles of God's word and his truth more valuable than your feelings. And you have to be willing to place that in front of your feelings. I don't feel that way, or it feels this way. It doesn't matter how you feel. You understand? I mean, it does, but in respect to God, it doesn't matter how you feel. This is what the word says. And if you can get to the place where you understand they're only feelings, what matters more should be God and his will and his word. That's how you'll get through life. Because if you're going to try to get through life on feelings, you're going to fail. You know, everybody that commits suicide commits it because of feelings. They do. They don't feel happy. They don't feel worthy. They feel depressed. They feel useless. They feel, it's feelings. They're only feelings. And yet, when it's used with the adversary, he can destroy people. Because he uses their feelings to push them to do what he wants done. Same with us. How much mileage are you going to let the adversary get it out of using your feelings? I have a fight with Kim. And this is what you got to say to yourself. Not because, oh, you're sitting there and you're teaching everybody. No. Listen, you have to say this to yourself. Now, how long am I going to let this go on between me and my spouse? They're only feelings. She's wrong. You want to know something? It doesn't matter who's wrong. Because if you're going to wait until you get justified at someone saying you were right, that may never come. And if that doesn't come, and if that's what you need to move on in life, what if the person dies? Now you're really up the creek without a paddle, huh? Because you didn't hear you were wronged and you are right. Because you didn't hear those words. Why do we let our feelings rule us so much? Because the whole world runs like that. All the TV commercials are about that. You need this. You want this. You feel like you deserve this. You deserve this. You deserve that. You feel this way. We want to make you feel this way so we can get you to buy this. We don't want you to feel this way. That's why you need this pill. You understand? It's all about feelings. And the adversary understands feelings. He got to Eve through her feelings. And he got to Adam through his feelings for Eve. Okay? Why am I feeling like this towards her? She loves me. She married me. She bore my children. I know that she'll give her life for me because I didn't like her meatloaf. You know, it can be really that, you know, people get divorced over meatloaf. I'm telling you. And I'm sure that every one of you could tell me, oh, I've heard someone getting divorced over something more stupid than meatloaf. Right? And then you grow up in these nationalities. Italian. Right? Let's pick on the Italians. I remember my mother and my uncle arguing one day on Elm Street on the front porch about 9 o'clock at night. And they were so steeped into it that they made a bet. And at the end of the bet, it says, if I'm right, you got to eat this shoe. And the other one said, if I'm right, you got to eat this shoe. And they swore that they would do this just to prove a point. And at 9 years old, you know what the point they proved to me? Adults make no sense at all. I'm going inside and watch wrestling. There's more truth to Bruno Sammartino and Crazy Luke Graham going on that TV than there is in these two adults sitting on the steps. And I could probably learn more life lessons from it. And what they were arguing about never came to pass anyway. It was a stupid sink. They were arguing about a stupid sink. But they were both so willing to hold on because of their feelings, because they wanted to be right, because the other one wanted to be wrong, because they're only feelings. You get it? Try and say that to yourself next time. It'll set you free. They're only feelings. And if those feelings aren't lining up with God's word, you need to get rid of them, because the devil's using them against you. You understand? They're only feelings. And for women, you got a lot of feelings running through you. But for men, you got equally amount of feelings running through you too. But you know, we don't like to say that, because we cover them behind pride, we cover them behind anger, we cover them behind manhood. You know, men got just as many feelings. Men are emotional creatures. Or not emotional, you ever got angry, you're emotional. Don't call me emotional, you're getting emotional right there. See, I told you. They're only feelings. What's more important to you, your feelings or the movement of the gospel? And really, if you want to lift the veil back a little bit further, who's in the mix? Who's behind the curtain turning the knobs? Beelzebub, right? Sure. Who's thumbing his nose at you while you're out there trying to figure your life out because of your feelings? The devil. So how much mileage are you going to let the devil get out of your feelings? Don't be stupid. You don't want to be like that. James 1:20 says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Man's anger, when it's wrong, does not bring about God's righteousness in a situation. You understand? Being angry, having the wrong kind of anger. Jesus' anger was right, and that brought about the righteousness of God. But when man is angry and they're just feelings, and it's not justified and it's not a righteous anger, it doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. All it brings about is tick for tat, tick for tat, tick for tat. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. You know what we say? Park that train of wood over there, Bill, and go get me another box load. That's what we say. And when you're there, get me a couple of those guys down to Dunkin' Donuts so they can load it into the furnace for me. What's more important? And just see, this is life. This is where you live. This is what you can take home. What's more important, you getting the last word or not putting any more wood on the fire? Are you able to swallow your pride and keep your mouth shut for the furtherance of the gospel? You know what the Bible says in Matthew? It says, blessed are the what? Peacemakers. You want to be a peacemaker or you want to be a troublemaker? Because you got to have the last word. Because you got to make sure that you're right. Because your feelings got hurt. Well, praise God. Jesus Christ's feelings got hurt too. And yet he was willing to lay his life down and have those SOBs put nails through his hands, crown of thorns in his head, whipped him, treated him worse than any other human being in the world. And you know what he said about his feelings? They're only feelings. Where was his mind? What was his mind on? His mind was on his Father. His mind was on you and me. He hung on the cross because of his love. And his love wasn't a feeling. His love was a decision of his will. He was willing to put us first. He was willing to put God first and his feelings behind to accomplish God's will. Do you think that he felt like getting crucified? Did any of that make him feel good, feel wanted, feel honored? But you know what he said to himself? I don't know if he said this, but if I was him, this is what I would have said. They're only feelings. What's the real issue here? They're only feelings, John. That's all it is. Next time you guys want to, they're only feelings. What the hell are you doing? You know? And then this is what happens. The next morning we whack ourselves in the head and then we wake up, right? And all night we're smoldering. We're twisting in bed. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about, you know what a real test of character is? You want to know what a real test of God's word is? When someone hurts your feelings, here's a real test to see what kind of man or woman of God you are. Stop thinking about your feelings and start thinking about that person and pray fervently for that person. And if you can't do it, you're the one with the problem. Amen? Now that makes no sense. But that's the way God wants you to function. Because he says he's used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that's sheer foolishness according to the natural man. But instead of all this fuming, next time someone ticks you off and runs over your foot and does you injustice or does your family injustice, I'm not talking about someone coming trying to hurt your children. And you, no, I'm not talking about that. Somebody tries to do that, you get your gun and blow their brains out. Okay? Because that's what you do. I'm talking about your stupid feelings. Okay? Next time somebody hurts your feelings, you think about that. You think about praying for that person instead of sitting there smoldering all night in your anger and your bitterness for that person. And that will reveal to you in your life what you're made of. Are you willing to put your feelings aside and do what the word says is right? Or are you willing to continue in your feelings so you can justify your sin? Not the sin that maybe what you did is a sin, but the way you're acting and continue to steep and set on this, that's where it becomes a sin. Be angry and do what? Sin not. You understand? And I can show you families. Every family got one. That they haven't talked to their brothers, to their sisters, to this one, to that. Not because they don't want to. Because they choose not to. And they're holding a grudge because he ran over my cat's tail when I was 14 years old. And they're still holding a grudge. They're only feelings. And they have allowed the adversary to steal that part of their life away from them because they're only feelings. And how many times do you read at the end of their life, on their deathbed, they're reconciled and say, oh, I'm sorry, I wish if I had to do it all over again. And then they realize. Then they realize their mortality. Then they finally realize how foolish they've been. But you know what the sad thing is? Then it's too late. And the adversary laughs as they die and dwindle in their last couple breaths. They're only feelings. You have to be bigger than that if you're going to walk for God in this world. You have to be stronger than that if you're going to walk for God in this world. We have to be men and women that are willing to put our feelings aside and say, it doesn't matter how I feel, they're only feelings. What does the word say? You understand? You got a lot of problems with interracial marriages. And even amongst believers. And you want to know something? If you're confronted with that, you got to say to yourself, what does the word say? That's what you got to say. That's what you got to say. That's really hard to take for some of us, right? I know I'm right. You may not say I'm right, but you know I'm right. And you know that you're having a problem with what I'm saying. But it's the truth. And I choose these illustrations because I want to dig you to a place where I make you think about yourself. Not because I want to make you uncomfortable, but because I want to uncover if there's something there. So you can see and you say, you know what, I might need to have some of this advice for me. Right? Sure, it's right. Then you are faced with it. And then you got to deal with God. But you know what a lot of people do? they ignore God and they continue in their feelings. We can't do that. What makes us any different than anybody else outside of the world doing whatever they want outside of here if we continue to live that way? What makes us any different? You know what it makes us? It makes us hypocrites. If we can't take this word of God and live it, it doesn't matter whether you live it. It matters if I live it. Do you understand? It doesn't matter if you say I'm sorry, or I'm right, or I'm wrong, or I'm indifferent. It matters if I do. My walk with God is determined by Nick. You understand? It's not determined by you. You may encourage me. You may bless me along the way. You may discourage me along the way. But ultimately, my decision to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ stands solely with me. I cannot blame my life or my walk on anybody. And I sure as hell ain't going to let feelings deter me from being who I should be for God. You want to know something? You shouldn't either. They're only feelings. It's only a TV. It's only a car. Really? Now think about it. We worship these things like, and we take our kids, get away with it. It's only a freaking TV. You can replace it. That doesn't mean you let your kids jump on your TV or shoot a bow and arrow at it. I get that. But don't give it more credence than what it deserves. It's only a stupid lawnmower. It's only a stupid sofa. You know, I remember the first time we got a new bed. Didn't my kid, the day or the next day after, didn't he either all over the damn, did he pee on it? I don't want to new bread.
That was my shoulder.
And it didn't have the rubber thing on it yet, did it? I wanted to go nuts. But you know, I couldn't even beat him. Because he's too young, he was innocent, I couldn't even judge, if he was two, I could eat it on purpose, I could beat him, right? He wasn't even that old. I tried to justify beating him in my mind, and I couldn't bring myself to it because he was too young. I'm telling you the truth. It's only a damn bed. I don't even have the bed anymore. I threw it out. I still got the kid. It's only a bed. It's only a car. You know, they're things. We want to keep our things nice. We want to do the right thing, but they're just things. We don't want to treat people like things. We want to love people. We want to do our best to be the best for people. Understand? We want to be peacemakers. We don't want to set stumbling blocks in front of people. But you know what? You don't want to compromise either. If somebody's a spoiled brat and don't get their own way in life, and it's contingent upon them getting their own way, and giving them their own way is not God's will, well then to give them their own way is going to be compromising. There comes a place in time where you got to say, well, this is what the word, this is what, and that's it. I don't care if you like it or not. I love you, but that's what the word says. It doesn't mean you always go around kissing everybody's butt to make them feel good. You understand there's a balance in this world. But make sure you choose your fights. Is this worth pursuing? Now see, if it's a question of God's integrity, God's word, the Lord Jesus Christ at stake, it's worth pursuing unto death. But if it's a question about just me and you, and I don't like your hairstyle, or you said I'm fatter than you are, which would be a great insult. It's only feelings. Then I buy you a cheeseburger and make you fatter and I get revenge. You gotta pick your fights, you understand? But we're the devil. And we go to bed and the door to the oven's open and it's smoldering and it's smoldering and it's smoldering, and when you wake up in the morning you're like a dragon. And you open your mouth, and you know what comes out of your mouth? Why? Because you've been feeding it all night, kindling it all night, tenderly moving the coals around all night so you can explode in the morning. Like a dragon. Right? You turn around and say, where is my spouse, and what have you done with them? that's what happens. And not a good thing. Psalm 2:12, you don't have to go there. It says, kiss the Son, Jesus Christ, S-O-N, prophetic psalm, lest he be angry. See? Jesus got angry. Deuteronomy 9:8 says, you provoking the Lord to wrath, and he was angry with you. God gets angry. Jesus gets angry. See? Men get angry. In Samuel, this is what David said, 1 Samuel 17:26. He said, well, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You think David said it like this? Well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Is that what you think? Is that the emotion that these words should carry when David was speaking them? Especially when he was speaking to the entire army of Israel, where those were men of war and they should know what they were doing? David was angry. He was mad with a righteous anger and a righteous mad. Later on in the same chapter, when it came to the confrontation, it says that David, when the Philistine arose, that David drew nigh, and he hastened and he ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He bolted towards them. You got a dog? Anybody got a dog or a kitten? Listen, you ever open your door, and the dog's there, right? He's right behind you. And you open a door, what's a dog do?
Bolts,
right? And then what do you do? Come back here. Or you say, run faster. Yeah, one of those in the congregation. If you don't have a dog, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll guarantee you, I don't care how good your dog is, if there's a girl dog out there and he's a boy and she's in heat, it don't matter. All that dog whispering training goes out the door. He's thinking about more than whispering. Sweet nothings in that dog's ear. He's gone. This was David. David bolted towards Goliath. He didn't like, down. That wasn't David. You understand? He wasn't out for a meander in the park. He ran. What do you think was going on? You think he... When I get there, I'm going to introduce myself. Hi, I'm David. Let's be friends. No. It wasn't time to say, hi, I'm David, let's be friends. It was time to be mad. It was time to be angry. It was time to be fired up. You understand? So there's truth in that. There's truth in that. And there's scriptures that will back that up. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a what? Lion. You know what a lion does when they're... I told you all this before. We went down to the zoo. We took pictures of these things. And they're like ferocious, mean. You don't want to fall down into there because you're done. That's what it says. The righteous are bold as a lion. You're fired up. You're ready to move. But in a righteous way, not in a cocky way, not because you're angry, not because you want to beat somebody up and justify your position. You just want to walk the way the Lord wants you to walk. Jesus Christ was righteous, and he was bold as a lion when he went in and he overthrew those money changers' tables, and he threw all those guys out of the temple, and got rid of all those beasts. And he spoke up, and he said, you made my father's house, you're a den of thieves. Right? He was bold as a lion. Didn't have a gun, didn't have a backup, bold as a lion. You know what he had? The fire of God on the inside of him, and he had Almighty God watching his back. He's bold as a lion. How about Samson? Judges 14. It says Samson what? He sought an occasion with the Philistines. He was mad. He was ticked off the way Israel was just kissing butt. And he said, something got to be done about it. And you know when he went out? He went out and he sought an occasion. So anger has its profit, you understand? To be fired up. How about where it says in the word, gird up thy loins? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think that's talking about? Pull your pants up so your underwear don't show? It's talking about, it's a figure of speech, it's talking about the loins of your mind. Mm-hmm. You understand? The action center of the will. Quit ye like children, be ye men. That's what it's talking about. There's a place for anger. There's a place for commitment. There's a place for resolve. There's a place for all these things in a godly way. And God encourages us to be that way. Because the world sure as hell isn't encouraging us that. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know how it's related, but God showed it to me, so I'm just going to tell it to you. You know, I'm at the gym this morning, and I'm minding my own business, and I'm having a great workout. I'm working harder than normal because I just needed to get rid of some extra energy I had. And this idiot comes on TV, on the radio, and says, everybody say amen. And I saw that gets my ear. And this isn't like a screwball Howard Stern radio. This is like 102 or 109, something half decent, right? And so then you hear the crowd, it says, amen. Then you say, everybody say hallelujah. Then you hear the crowd, big crowd, like in a concert hall, say hallelujah. Well, maybe they turned it on to a Christian station here. I'm thinking of myself, right? Then they say, everybody say praise the Lord. And then you hear this crowd all in you to say, praise the Lord. Now I'm really glued to this radio because I figured somebody turned a Christian station, I'm going to hear something good. Then the guy who's emceeing it says, put your hands together and let me introduce to you Jesus himself. And then he introduces this guy who's a singer. I don't even know who he was. And I said to myself, can I believe this?
Jesus.
And then they said, then he said something along the lines like, welcome Jesus himself. And they're all clapping. And he led them. He led them into a corporate vow of idolatry. That's what he did. You know, years ago, Dr. Prince taught us, those of us that studied deliverance, you stay away from the occult, even fooling around with the occult. It's no good. You do this. It talks about it in the Bible, cursing your family when you do these things. And I want in just a second of time, God showed me this is the new witchcraft that is attacking our kids and our adults. There's one guy not too long ago on the Grammys or whatever, said, put your hands together and welcome your Lord and Savior and praise God for your Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. That's what he said on national TV. Who was it?
It was Kanye West that said it.
No, it wasn't him.
Jamie this Fox.
Was, that's him.
Oh, was it Jamie Foxx?
Somebody else said it? Jamie, that's who it was.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when we grew up in our time, I was bad, okay? I was a bad boy. I got, okay, that's it. But you want to know something? As bad as I was, there were certain things that you didn't do and you didn't go to. Mm-hmm. You understand? You cursed, you drank, you walked around with a gun, you stole people's cars. I did all those things. You got it? But I wasn't evil. There were certain things, even when I grew up, that I knew. No matter how all this other stuff I was involved in, you didn't do. And one of those things was go around saying, I'm Jesus Christ, or this. You didn't do that. But you know what? Today, that's commonplace. It's a big joke. Nothing is sacred anymore in this world. Nothing. You know, we were jerks, and we broke windows, and we threw snowballs, and we stole Christmas lights, and we kicked the other guy's dog. And set the bag of poop on fire at midnight, and they came out and stamped it out. You got it?
Apparently, she has never heard of that.
You know, and see, that's what I screw my kids up because I tell them all these things, and then they go, oh, really? I never thought of that. But there were certain things that you didn't do. You understand? I am God the Creator. You didn't do that kind of, that was wrong. Even if you're in there drinking, partying, and somebody acted like that, you're looking at it like, gosh, nuts, I'm getting away from him.
Okay.
We're all drinking and doing everything stupid, but if somebody did that, we at least we had enough sense to say, ew, he's crossing a line.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't
I'm a liar, I'm an adulteress, I'm a this, I'm a, but no way I'm getting near that. I don't want none of that. You know what? Those limitations today, they're gone. They don't exist. And you as parents, listen to me, you as parents, especially if you've got teenagers and kids coming up going to be teenagers, you need to be involved in their life, and you got to make sure you know what kind of crap they're listening to and what kind of artists they're listening to on their iPod, because those idiots are going to lead your children into commitments and vows that they're going to suffer for their life. And I'm telling you, you cannot be a parent today and ignore that. And then you're manifesting all these kind of problems in your home, and you're wondering where the hell is the door that the adversary is coming in. I wouldn't believe what I heard this morning unless I heard it with my own two stupid ears. And this is what I thought to myself. How asleep have I been? Because in order for that to go on national radio the way it was, nobody just gets up one morning. This is Nick. This is the only way I know how to communicate. Nobody gets up one morning and puts a needle in their arm and starts shooting heroin. You know what they do? They do a little weed. They do a little hash. They do a little meth. They do a little coke. They do a little whatever. And then they do heroin. Well, the devil just didn't wake up this morning and decide to put that on national radio. Because if he did, you know what the people would have done? They would have censored it, shut the stupid radio down. Who the hell are you? So that means over the past X amount of years, he had to slowly make inroads into the population and the worldview of our culture to say, oh, take this, take a spoonful of evil, take a bigger spoonful of evil, take a ladle of evil, drink this pitcher of evil. Right? What are those things that beer comes in?
Okay.
Here's this keg of evil. Swimming, right? So I heard the swimming pool, and I'm thinking to myself, where the hell was a teaspoon at? But he did. And you know how he did it? He did it through these artists, and you know, we're out, and we're not listening to this crap anymore because we're older, and we're doing other stupid things. And our kids are all of a sudden doing this, and all of a sudden you wake up and say, what? What is this all about? Because we have a tendency to space out. Because we're busy with life. Because we got to do things. And we forget about our kids. I'm telling you, you're a parent, you got to get on top of that stuff. They're going to eat your kids up. Teach them the truth, man. I had to leave. I left the gym. I stopped my workout. I got so sick, I stopped my workout. I got to go back tomorrow. Damn. No. This ain't the fuel. It's in the belly. That's a for real thing. All right, that's close. Proverbs 19. Let me read you this. You can go there. We'll close there. Now, as you're going along the way, I'll read you this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Who wants to put that on the refrigerator? I want to get blessed. I want to have a happy day. It's going to be nice. I'm going to... Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil. That's a funny way of getting blessed, God. I could think of a better way, right? Like, give me a cheeseburger or blessed are you when you get invited over for dinner. You don't say that. It says, when they revile and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Okay. You got a sense of humor, don't you? That's what blessed us. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. Proverbs 19:11. Listen to this. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And it is his glory to cast over the transgression. How about that? How about looking at that from God's point of view now?
Now, my feelings, oh, they hurt my beard.
He said it doesn't look like a Duck Dynasty beard. I'll kill them. No, listen. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. This is the Bible in basic English. A man's good sense makes him slow to wrath, and the overlooking of wrongdoing is his glory. It's a compliment and a sterling character of an individual to be able to walk like this. It's an honor. The New International reads, a man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. So, you know, the next time an offense is perpetrated, is that a good criminal word? Yes. Who's the perpetrator? It's me, oh Lord. The next time an offense is perpetrated against you, you got a lot of different ways you can go, right? But you want to know something? It's to your glory, it's to your honor to overlook an offense. Where there is no wood, the fire what? It goes out. You going to be the one pitching the wood on the fire, or are you going to be a peacemaker? Well, it doesn't feel that, and what about this? And what? It doesn't matter about your feelings. Why does it matter about your feelings? Because why? They're only what?
Feelings.
Listen to me. Why doesn't it matter about your feelings? Because what? They're only what? Only feelings. That's all it is. Why are you giving your feelings more credence than God and His Word? So finally, and for the last time, why doesn't it matter about our feelings? Because why?
Come and go.
They're only feelings. You get it? They're only feelings. All right? Let's pray, Father. Thanks for your love, for your Word. Thanks for your guidance. Thanks for these, your wonderful people. And thanks for the practical application of this teaching being presented to each person and then them being doers of your word. And next time, even on the drive home, possibly, Father, when it happens, they say there are only feelings. Let's do God's will. Okay? Amen and amen.
Keep
doing that.
All right, very good.
You know, Dr. Field.
I just wanted to shake your hand.